real 12, and you're in the right 12, Tom, and I think you're just going on leave, aren't you?
Not sure. So jump in if you want to see the end of the world. So what's going on in the end of the world? We are all good to be back. Check that okay to get on the game back. Go and see if the walking match has come up yet to the sport, because you went back to 9-8 in to get on the move. They haven't come. So later on, it's still on from when he was going to start going dark. So then when he said to me, he's not coming tonight, go down the road, so across the road where you were there, there's a unit there who will take the internet meeting. I said, oh, to go. So I went down. And just as I'm walking down this main track, this body said, all over the place he's going to shoot. So I get to this crossroad and across from me on the left. This is the place where the cemetery would be now. There was a marquee up. But at the only crossroad also were 2 or 3 yards. And then we walk off there and said, well, I'm going to know him, but I'm going to leave. Well, I take you, he said, but I'm waiting for a message, I don't know whether I'm going to take you. So I go over there, I said, yes, I will. So I went over there, but I told him what I wanted. Suddenly wrote the officer, quite nice, and nothing about it. Quick question, you feel like I've got one of the responding. Is it rough up there? I said, no, it's not too bad. I've let him into it, and I said, no. When he sent us in yesterday, yeah, I gave him some to eat. When I'm back, he said, make my bed, and if you made it out, isn't it? We have no transport to Melbourne in 2-9 million. We're waiting on this time. And then I went on to the back of the storm man, we walked up the storm man, got onto the wagon, went to Nijmegen, gave me 100 cigarettes, drunk them away, part of it were going through the floods. So on the way, he said, oh, there's a wagon there, and he's going back, he should be sure Clockmaster. So he had been after all. So they shouted across to him, you've got one of your fellows here. I said, it's Lewis, it's Lewis. You want to change over? I said, no, I'm going to be into Nijmegen. All right, he said, I'll tell you. So into Nijmegen, we went. He struck me right outside the quartermaster stores. You bring the storm and I stuck for me. He said, go over the cookhouse, it'll be warmer there if you come. So I went over the cookhouse, stepped over my kettle. The cook gave me tea early on, I washed and shaved. And went falling down around Ayrton. Ernst comes up, but he'd been on there not. Next to mine, a student called Frank Elliott. Hey, come in, you're doing well, man. I said, that's very good.
I recognise the accent, Tom. Yes. Was he from this part of the world as well?
Yeah, from Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, eventually, we're waiting to get paid. So who comes up then but Dr. Thompson. Hello, Tommy. What are you doing back here? You're going on leave, yeah? So he's nosing around with me, and he found out one of the lads that should have been there wasn't there. He might have been killed and wounded. So he went on to Avondale, the RPMS, and he picked it up, and he took his place. So he came. He went on leave with me. So, we went along by transport to arrive at Burghley Airport, where we put into a unit there waiting for the train. I think it was night, walked around the town, waited an hour or two, and then went by train from Burghley Airport down to Calais. Get to Calais, as soon as the quartermaster goes in, ducks the others, they change into Mondeos, according to £40. Across there from Kelly to Dover, took to Worcester Station up to Manchester. He went home and I went again to Burnley. The weather was that bad the day we could come back. The same was cabin, so it was today extra. Eventually, on the great week, we set off back again, all the way up, till they arrived just near the Airstorm in the Iceford Forest. And the battalion at that time started to attack them through Rock. So I'm waiting there, down comes the street, there's a quick semicircle, and it's the storeman, Jack Burns. So I wait, I think, come on. And he just moved off and left us. I thought, well, where's this on? But what he actually was doing was a man was keeping me out of the bathroom. So eventually, we, well, what Colin said to me, Tom, well, I'm not going back there. And to be honest, you know, I thought, well, I don't care anymore. So he got compassionate, and he didn't go. And he didn't go. Anyway, I don't know. He didn't go. So eventually, I arrived back to the family headquarters. The lads was forward then, and were approaching Yeldon. So I was in the town headquarters when we went into Galway at night. Shelling and the usual thing, the horses, the young horses who led theirs, dying in, stood up in the streets. We took, and there is where we met up with the American 9th Army in the night. So we took Galway, and I was still at headquarters. And John Bennett, who was a land sergeant in charge, he came to me and he said, the people on there were cast to his house, we go to Baker. And I said, no, sir. The request is another. So we went to the giant big company. So from there, was in this house, like a cottage on a road in the forest. We marched from there, and then we started along this road, and it popped us off for like that. Heavy shelling on the road, and the Welsh regiment just gone in front of us and he's killed the seal and walked on the road. So we get to the room before the shell was. Then we attacked at the night. Ism, I'm correct, we're not in the night.
Yeah, I think they might be the other way around, Tom.
Well,
I think.
Yeah,
Ism might be before Potterstoff.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is, so we just take up this road and look to take the farm on the left and the right. And it was dark, the tracer from the field went right down the road, of course, there was in between them, tracer. Machine gun fire, so it pitch dark, so I took this farm in the dark, did so many hours, attacked him, I took the night up to the next, and I was off duty, and I fell asleep in this cellar in the house. When I woke up, I heard him. One of the closest people come by the potatoes. We had potatoes with the lead on. Anyhow, we were there till we cleared the area. Someone took over from us. We came back and we stayed in this farmhouse.
Yeah. There's a village there that might ring bells. Lullingdon?
That's right. Yeah. And so over there, did a bit of football under it. How grand it was to be out of battle again. Just to come back, go out into a barn, get washed and shaved and shaved, to sleep, to have something to eat, write a letter, receive a letter. As the years have flown away, yeah, and I know it's for all the men there, just to get back there and have that, it's the nearest thing in this territory I've come to heaven. It is a marvellous feeling. I can't express it in words, really.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I was there a few days, and it was eventually that the MT stayed there for maintenance. The rest of the battalion moved down outside of Brussels in the villages around a town called Alst, about 12 miles out of Brussels. I was B Company stayed to place Glasgow, headquarters at Telsine. Well, I was there, it was St. Patrick's Day, and it was also, I don't know, at the time of St. Joseph's, I was stationed in West Stanley with this family and they called Van Beekman. Well, they're that good, oh, they couldn't be better with us, looked after us, so of course, now we were, had to go over to Mass for St. Joseph's Day, Paris Peace. Belgium's Feast Day, 19th of March. Well, I was there, we got to run, took down into Brussels, and then the weather was really marvellous in that March, really spring. So then we had to move, going back to crossing the line. So we moved out in a much tears from the cities. So eventually we landed at Old Stomping Ground in Dockwell, way back where we fought. So when we got there, they called an old group for the signalers. I come from B Company, Cotorius Kim. We just got new wireless sets, the old 18 set, in what we call a quarter set, 46 set, which was crystal, and he was switching one frequency to another. So they had to be instructed. Now, the low reinforcement, when lads are 18 and 19, and a few old ones with the cold cell thrown in. So John Bennett said to me again, can you, Danny, would you go to D Company? So that was okay. I didn't come back from leave at that time, but Dickie Lee, an old friend of mine, was supposed to get me normally. So he says to Dickie Lee, Lee, you're straight up now. Now, in a fella that has never been to a company, William, that's nothing to do with you, you go where it's all. Well, he's not, it's not right. Well, if I can't do that, then can you have to do it from where I was, so you already said, really gone. So, we were sent then to his respective companies. I went to the company.
Who was he talking about, Tom, when he said there's a fellow there never been to a company?
He was talking about the chap who was called, some buildings there first of all, then the night morning following we moved into the attack right in the picture. And as we widened the bridge of course, and we came up against an opposition, we cleared that out of the way, went further inland, and then the orders was that D Company would be the right forward company in this part of the attack, and A Company would be the left. Now, the road we're doing first cross, and it was going to put down in flooded. So, when we moved up along this sandy track, left up this track going towards the village. As we progressed up this track, D Company, they started shelling us, so we got to cover. And there, the steps from the steps there, stepping wheel, but this line here, and it was a telephone line, it was a telephone line. So I had nothing, I said, I'll cut it, so I cut it this season through the way out of the side, and the shelling stopped. So then we pulled this further, and as we put it further up, who came up behind us, but I was a 6-pound anti-tango, the company jeep, an ammunition thing, and then a troop of Sherman tanks. We're halfway up, and then we'll be roughly 400 yards from the village where there's a bridge. And we are going up the infantry, and we're aware of set. And one of the forward scouts said, tanks. Tanks. So they're going around to the Sherman tank commander. And tanks. Well, what did they do? Pull off the road. He's given a fire, didn't he? Anyhow, he didn't. So they opened up on us. The gun went up, the 6-pound anti-tank gun, the jeep went up, the truck went up, the other tanks went up, and there they lay dead trying to get out of the turret, and they're all through and roasted. So, our fellows were pinned down, we're driving the side of the edge of the side, so we laid smoke down, and only after we laid the smoke, we pulled off the road. The tanks were gone. I went across the field, occupied the small house, and we went then. The platoon commander, who was called Lieutenant Kershaw.
There's a village there called Dingdon, I think.
That
Tom.
Would be the name, probably, but I couldn't really remember the whole.
Yeah.
So we went up into the loft, much later on. I don't mean I'm going to say it, but I mean I'm going to say it to really. And I was with the other set, this new other set, really, on the floor, before the seat set. So I made a map, and you see, we could see the tanks, and the village, and the bridge, and of course, the map wasn't quite good. Anyway, the wire set there, for some reason, the battery wasn't good enough, and the landing station wasn't going. So I said, I'll have to only get another battery. So when I went down, Captain Coker said to me, well, it's on the Jeep. And you know, so I said, I'll have to go and get it, you know. Well, we'll take care of you. So, the lieutenant, Churchill, said, there's a green box on there, metal box in there, it's like the max. Get such a number. So I went across the fields, got into the edge row, crawled through the edge row onto the road, and led dead all over the six pound gun with a round up that's a fire. I get into the back of the Jeep, rumbles me, finds a battery, gets that down, try it, opens the case for the map, could I find that bloody map? No, and it's firing again down the road. So I dive through the edge again, go back up to the farm, up into the loft. So we did with the map at the end. And of course, I called them on these instructions, the artillery to fire the ranging shot onto the tanks, which they did. We adjusted it by about 50 yards down or something like that, and all the battery opened up on them and we shot to the tanks.
Mm.
So then, later on, about 3 hours after, we attacked right up to this little river, I see what it was, down through the stream, not over the main bridge, up onto the side, to the village. Night comes along, the law bells let loose again. Patrol goes out, we can't see anything from here. We found the German tanks, and Charlie Company, Charlie Hatton, knocked the tanks out of the Fiat.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn comes, reflecting to move on to the next objective. Medical officer says to me, and I've got a 15 head.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I'm all right. I said, have you been there? I said, yeah, I was wounded. He said, well, you should go back in tomorrow night and go back to the FBS at Motor. He said, well, what was there over? Let's carry on to the point. So then we carried on from there, went from one more or less permit to another fight, and now I have got to, so that we're in and out of it, we're in Holland, back into Germany, zigzag, I can't remember the name, to be honest.
Yeah.
But we took one place, just in Holland, and it's only half it, we're going to do another half.
Can we just go back a second, Tom? Because in the fighting you just had, was also around a town called Bocholt.
Yeah, we haven't reached Bocholt then.
You haven't reached Bocholt yet. Okay. You're not as far up as that.
That's right.
Okay.
So I said, clear these small places. And we cleared that. And then we came, as I said, we attacked Bocholt. Now, again, if my memory is correct, and I mean, over the years it can be mistaken, but I'm sure I'm not, it was a night attack. I'm nearly sure it was.
Mm.
But I have no reference to it, you know. And if I'm correct, we our company, the company, we attacked along the railway line because Bocholt, it was a big railway junction. We just attacked along the way. So we attacked the night, dawn were coming, into town, there was trucks turned over on the sides, big scrap went on, some shelling, but mostly machine gun fire. Well, we captured the town. Dawn came, and again, if I'm not mistaken, was at the hospital there. They thought it was a German headquarters and it was a strange hospital. So we occupied it, and it was. There was a high ranking medical officer there with the captors as well. The carriers were going forward, clearing so we do buckle, someone do go with us. After, I think we're there about a day and a half, 2 days. And then we moved out and somebody consolidated, and we went forward again. Now you'll have to remind me again from tonight from Buckle. What would be the next place that we went to?
Well, I'm not sure whether I'm right either, but I think there was a town called Gronau.
That's right.
And another one called Winterswitch something like.
One after another, you get mixed up. It may have been Gronau where there was a canal there, and the town was either side of it, and we had the carriage door on the running right past one guy Levine to clear the jetty out. We'd lost about 30 casualties there or so, most of the machine gun. Then, as we progressed again, we're taking that money as we go along, we may start one after another. And we're at the moment a bit mixed up.
Emsweser Canal?
Oh, so we go along. Now there was two towns the same name as them, went from both. One was called Ottenberg, and the other like Gottenberg. So, really, we know, as we approach Emsweser Canal, one of the regiments had gone first up to the canal, so we had no problem. We just marched along the road till we came, we crossed over the bridge, still had similar problems, and then we found out. So the road went right up like that, and you couldn't stand out to the roads. But yeah, of course, it went up this road, and you just keep going up and down that hill. When we were right out there, they opened up to us, and some of our fellows were killed on the road, so they flew to the side. So we went over and swept through the woods around them. Again, a bank, and somebody fired to the side of the bank with a Panzerfaust. Just aside, one mighty bump and shower of wood that didn't give us any harm. So, we took that. Now, this, if I'm not mistaken, I'm sure again. The four big companies went up onto this ridge. And when they went over the ridge, in the valley below, on this road, the Romans and German soldiers in column going along. So, straight away with the radio, they call the Manchester, the machine gunners, got onto the crest, got the fired open sights, like the black mountain. So we moved in there again. We would have been approaching then, there was also the Ems Canal, and then the Weser, the River Weser.
Yes.
So we crossed the Weser. I think after the Weser, if I'm not mistaken, that's when they came up again. The Oxford boys, German NCOs and sensual officers, they were. So they really gave us a rough time. And at this period, we had to call in the crocodiles and the artillery. So we went across the open place and shooting. The point of these fighting, they wasn't big battles, but there was very fierce smaller units. So this got to, of course, which would probably be 800,000 men. So we fought there, our fighting dropping all over the place, and we got five called in the crocodiles, of course, as we told to do. They would send the flame onto the house to make sure their stuff was running out. And there was no surrender, they just chased them and won the couple of them there. He was no bigger than the boy. So we moved on from there again, captured some new Nazi officers. Then he began his barn door. The lads, of course, are leading on his watch or whatever, they always stop the yard. So they complained to Major the war across the next family. On the reason, the perfect English, and there's an English convention, there's two more to get next. And he wanted this back, he wanted that. Very good, and so you've got to go back there, but it's on the city of Malcolm in the way. Not there was that much going forward, selling, sniping, going down this road, again, the edge of either side, it was the same area.
Yeah.
opened up with his fan doors then for the lane. And then he realised what you do. When I said head first over this.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Anyhow, we cleared along there, stopping farmhouses the overnight, continental cleared. I'm trying to remember everything we can't, of course. Then eventually we came across the whole East End. We came, we couldn't talk to Osnabrück.
Ella. The Ella.
Yeah.
After the laser.
Yeah. We passed through Osnabrück, not past it. Then we came to the Ella. Now the orders were again, it was a night attack. But when we moved into to go across the river, in all East Land, as I can remember, it flat. We were in the dark, you know? And the order then again as we went across the river was B Company, Charlie Company, A Company, D Company, last night with the D Company.
Have you got a date for this, Tom?
4th of April. Well, I can remember it so well, I'm much closer to remember it. So we get up to the bank, and of course the fan doors are firing, but it's still dusk, and it's not coming proper light. What they've done, they swung across the river, they put rope across, so when the Dutchman ropes was retired, 16 men to a rope, they paddled across and went onto the rope. Because it appears when they see it, it was so, it's the fastest winder in Europe, it was told. Well, it came dawn, the light came, and it was our turn, we were going to cross the river. Major Duxbury said to me, Mary, go in that first boat with you, that was the first platoon of D Company to go across. All right, sir. So I went up the boat and said, no, come back, stay with me. So we got into the boat, it was light now, the machine gun was flying from the Germans, we got into the boat. And then you could see how fast the river was. They went out from the bank paddling. The bullets were flying around. Then the boat overturned about 20 yards out. Down it went. They had all the kit on them. And out of the 16, I think there was two of them, along with a friend of mine called Travis. And you could see them under the water, 6 inches a foot under, just swept away. So, we had to pop on across, so we had to go in the boat and got across, and let dead all over the bank. But one fellow I knew well was let dead there, was Sergeant Major Cross, DCM, Sergeant Major Deacon, where I'd been previously, and up the bank to the line. He gets up on the stock, swept to the left to clear this village out, and the Hungarians were fighting.
Yeah.
They're talking all over the place.
The first village there at home, I think, was Ottersen.
Remember the name?
Yeah.
So, Ottersen was clean over the D Company's clean over his bank left. And we're running, of course, on the road, and on the side is like the little woods. And I feel those challenges led. Wind was like, the wind blowing right strong. And they had this clean behind, which had gone through the pants and it's far down in the lane. And it was this fire, it seemed. So we got to the Ottersen, they reminded me, and we cleared it, and we got the prisoners, and we were all Hungarians. We fire high. This is what we were doing. I fire high, bullet. We were dead all over the place, you know.
It was low through your trousers as well.
Oh, yes, I've got it, yeah. I thought about that. So we cleared through there. Now, it was one after another. So then, we advanced again, the orders coming, different company over here, company over. We went forward again, let's get, anyway, and we went up this track again, and of course our fellows were guns flying over, and one shell was dropping short, and we got near, not the road, we're lucky. So, with my words, we brought him back, one fire dropping short before that stopped. Now, the next target.
Next village, I think, might be Whitslowy.
That's right, the EIWTLOE. Now, Whitlow, let me see. That would be before Ned Gary Bergen, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Mm.
Yeah. Whitlaw. So, let me see what I know about Whitlaw. Thank God, never mind. They had one of the companies, you see, that probably took this when we were at the side, and that's why I come back and remember it.
It's about the 13th of April.
Yeah.
Maybe 14th of April.
I think it, from that point, there's another place, was it called Stemmen?
There was a Stemmen later, a little bit later, maybe next day or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we've all around it, we didn't actually.
Mm.
And I think it was Stemmen where this railway line was, and a river. I'm nearly sure, but we'd have to check on it. So it would be, what would it be then, about the 15th, 16th of April?
About the 14th, 15th, I would guess.
Anyhow, I'm with the Major Duxbury and Second Command, Captain Corker. So they're discussing this next route to come through this wood, and the objective we had to take, code name was Maxim. So, off we go.